been so hot, the cows were producing powdered milk instead of liquid milk. I don't know about that, but I do know this. I ride by a field out there, and I see some cows, and if there's one shade tree, it don't matter if it's in the middle of the field, far end of the field, boy, they congregate right up under that shade tree. You know, I wondered about that. How much cooler is it in the shade than in the sun? You know how much cooler it is in the shade than in the sun? Really, it's no cooler in the shade than it is the sun. However, the sun's not directly on you. Some suggest it's about 10 to 15 degrees cooler in the shade than it is in the sun. I know my cell phone does not pick up where we live, and therefore, if I get a call or if I call somebody back, I need to walk outside in the yard on the far end of the yard to pick up a signal. And that's why I tell folks, send me texts. A lot of times my phone don't even ring. But anyway, there's a tree. It's an old sweet gum tree. I need to take it down, but it's got some good shade, I'll admit. And so I get under that old sweet gum tree, and my sure does feel a little bit cooler in the shade. I want to preach today on the subject, made in the shade. Made in the shade. I really thought and prayed a long time about the title of the message. I didn't get it from anywhere other than the Lord gave it to me. And I'm sharing that with you. I need your prayers as we talk about made in the shade. And there's some things that God's going to do today in your heart, in my heart today. He's going to encourage you. I believe the Lord is going to challenge us to learn to trust Jesus, to learn to depend upon Him. And I love this passage of Scripture. I looked at my records and I preached on this text about 10 years ago. However, it's not the same message, a different entire message. The title is Made in the Shade. And what we're going to see today is we're going to see that there are three choices you have and I have every day. Three choices to see if we're going to seek the Lord. Tell me, are you seeking the Lord these days? Tell me. I'll tell you what, God is so good that He makes it well worth our time to seek Him. And if you're seeking Him, you will experience His glory and His peace and His fulfillment in your life. Some of you are not seeking God, and I want to encourage you to do that. Some of you have been running from God, and I want to encourage you to stop running and turn to God. Here's where we're going. Three choices you and I have to make every day as to determine whether we have it made in the shade. Made in the shade. And we're going to look in the book of Psalms. We're going to turn to chapter 91, Psalm 91. As you're turning, I got a call, or rather it was just a message to say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? I get these all the time. Pastor, pray for me. I'm expected to have a biopsy done in the morning. I was with a man just last night and with others this week, and needs are represented, made in the shade. Now, it's not what you think it is. As you turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 91. In Psalm 91, this is a tremendous passage of Scripture. I would encourage you to read it and reread it and reread it. I've probably read it 50 times over and over this week, trying to get God's Word in my heart so I could give you the Word that the Lord was putting on my heart. And as we look today at this subject, made in the shade, there are three choices that the Lord birthed in my heart to give you. Three choices we must make every day, and it will determine whether you are enjoying made in the shade. Here's where we're going. Number one, how can you, listen, I'll have it on the screen, don't worry about it. How can you and I feel secure and safe and secure in an insecure world? How can I feel safe and secure? Some of you don't feel secure, do you? I know you don't. Some of you have been very insecure, haven't you? Even in your relationships, you've been insecure. In your home, you've been insecure. Well, how can we feel safe and secure in an insecure world? We'll find that in a moment, verses 1 through 4. Secondly, how can you and I experience peace and comfort in a troubled world? How can you and I experience peace and comfort in a troubled world? We'll find that in a moment, verses 5 through 10 of Psalm 91. Number 3, how can you and I find purpose and meaning in a crazy, mixed up world. How can you and I find purpose? Tell me, do you have peace today? Tell me, are you experiencing the fulfillment of why you're here on earth? Some of you are not. Some of you need to seek God today. Some of you really need the Lord to break through in your life. And so in the book of Psalm, chapter 91, we'll find that last statement, how we can find purpose and fulfillment in verses 11 through 16 of the text. Having said that, I want you to turn to Psalm 91. If you'd like to stand as you read the wonderful word of God, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Some say Moses was the author. Others say other men were the author of Psalm 91. I know God was the author, and I know it's a great word for you today. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all need encouragement? You're going to get encouragement today, I guarantee you, if you listen. Psalm 91, I begin reading in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow or the shade of the Almighty. That's where I get the message. That word shadow can be translated shade. Again, it's 10 to 15 degrees cooler in the shade than it is in the direct sun. Wait a minute. He that dwelleth. What's that word dwelleth mean? He that sits. He that abides. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Do you know God's got a secret place? I said, do you know God's got a secret place? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Underline these words for God. We'll come back to them in a moment. The Most High shall abide. And that word abide means remain. Hey, don't cut me off. Try to discipline your mind to listen today. Try not to let your mind wander. Try not to think about 10,000 other things. Try to keep focused on what God's got for you today, because the enemy's trying to steal away the seed. And if you're not careful, you can find yourself drifting. But ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to quicken your mind. Ask God to help you to get something out of the message he's got for you today. Don't let your mind wander, beloved. Let's keep reading. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and of the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. Are you living in fear? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Look at verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Other words, you won't fall. My, this is a great word from God today. Look at verse 8. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Wait a minute. Go back to verse 9. See that word because? There's two becauses in this psalm. And you need to pay attention to these two becauses. God is saying, because you did this, I'm going to do this. Again, verse 9. Because thou has made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, your life, your lifestyle. There shall be no evil. Look at verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And I say hallelujah. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That sounds familiar. Jesus, remember, temptation? Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. You know what that word adder means? Serpent, or some translate it cobra. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon. And some translate the word dragon, sea monster, even some translate it whale. Some I've read crocodile. It doesn't matter. See, the dragon shall trample under feet. Verse 14, here's the second. Because he hath set his love upon me. God says, because if you love him, do you love the Lord today? Do you really love the Lord today? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. If you love the Lord and he has set his love upon us, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And that word trouble could be adversity, affliction, problems. He'll call upon me in trouble. Is there anybody today in trouble? Will you call upon the Lord? He will call upon me in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With what? Look at verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, hallelujah for the word. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I bless you that you are everything that said you are and more. Now, Lord, we need you today. I know there's some weary, worn, and battle, burdened, and discouraged, and down, and depressed, and troubled, and oh, God, facing adversity and difficulties on every side, our God, with the things going on. But, God, we bless you that you are our refuge and strength. You are our fortress. You are everything to us that we need you to be, our rock and our salvation, our forgiveness of sin, our sustainer, our wisdom, our purpose, our meaning. Father, give us eyes to see what you want to do in our life. Give us hearts to believe you got our best interests in mind. Give us wills that are bent and broken and subdued under the hand of a mighty God. Help us to wave the white flag. Help us to surrender and yield afresh. God, keep us from distraction today. I pray that there are people around us that are distracting us. You'll keep us focused on you and your word for us today. When all said and done, we'll give you the glory that you are in the life-changing business, that you died, you rose again, you're coming again, and we love you, we worship you today, that you be high lifted up. And when all said, we'll say, to God be the glory, great things you've done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Hey, look. Here's where we're going in the text today. There are three choices you and I must make. Here they are. How can you feel secure and safe? Safe and secure in an insecure world? I find that in verses 1 through 4. Secondly, how can you find peace and comfort in a troubled world? I find that in verses 5 through 10. And then thirdly, you'll notice, how can you find purpose and meaning? Aren't you looking for that? Absolutely. Well, am I going to get that in my job? Not completely. Am I going to get that in my marriage and my children? Not necessarily completely. There's some other things God's got for you, and until you find it, you will not find meaning in life and purpose in life. Hey, some of you are still searching. Some of you deep down inside, you're discouraged. Some of you are down, and you say, there's got to be more than life. I go to work. I come home. I do this. I do that. There's something missing in my life. I'll tell you what is missing in your life, a relationship with God. Until you find that, you'll keep searching. You'll keep trying this and that, and it'll continue to leave you empty and longing for something else. So how can you find purpose and meaning in a crazy and mixed up world? Don't you agree with me? We live in a crazy and a mixed up world? Absolutely. Our world is absolutely crazy. And so, but in order to do this, the Lord put in my heart, there are three choices. First, how can we find or feel safe and secure? When you lay your head at your pillow at night, do you feel safe and secure? When you get in your car and you get ready to go home, do you feel safe and secure? When you're sitting right here in church, do you feel safe and secure? When you're going by the wayside and when you're out in recreation, you can't relax. Why? Because you don't feel safe and secure. Well, how can we feel safe and secure in a insecure world? Look again at chapter 91 and verses 1 through 4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, hang with me. You ready? Write these down. I hope you'll write these down. Number one, if you're going to find safety and security, tell you how you're going to do it. Number one, you got to turn to the right place. Here it is. Turn to the right place. Psalm 91:1. Are you turning to this right place? If you're not safe and secure, it's because you're not turning to the right place. Where do I derive from that conclusion? I'm glad you ask it, because here's where I come to this understanding. He that dwelleth, here's what it says, verse 1. He that dwelleth, he that sits, he that rests, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Secret place. Do you know what he's talking about when he says secret place? Question, do you have a secret place? Question, are you finding a secret place with God every day? Yes or no? How many have got a quiet time? I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have a quiet time, you're not going to find rest. You're not going to find security. You and I have to develop a quiet time every day, whatever time that might be. By the way, I would highly suggest don't try to spend all your quiet time riding down the road when you're having to focus on driving. Now, that's a part of quiet time, yes, but there's nothing like spending undivided attention in the presence of the living God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shade of the Almighty. If you and I want to live in the shade, if we want to have it made in the shade, first we've got to turn to the right place. Can I tell you all the most important time of my day is my time with the Lord? Every day. Every day. Is that the most important time of your day? Question. If you're a Christian, you need to make that a priority in your life. Why? Because that's where you're going to find safety and security. The reason we're insecure is because we're not spending time with the Lord. But if you spend that time with the Lord, it doesn't assure you that you won't feel insecure, but it sure will help. Amen. I want to tell you something. Do you have a place in your home you can go every day? You got a place, a bathroom, a bedroom, a closet, a downstairs room? Where do you go every day? You are spending quiet time, aren't you? Oh, I guess. Every once in a while. Come on. You're a Christian. You're not going to live in victory until you develop this. Hey, look. We discipline ourselves to brush our teeth, to brush our hair, I think. Anyway, why not discipline your spiritual life? You eat 3 meals a day at least. Why can't we discipline our spiritual life to spend time with God every day? And I'll be honest with you. If I just wake up in the morning, first thing, head out, get in my car and run, and if I'm going, I'm not going to likely spend that quality time with the Lord. Therefore, I suggest you mark your time or your clock or your calendar. Take that time with the Lord. Some of us need to rededicate our time to the Lord today. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now you say, but Pastor, I'm busy and I got a lot of things going on. I understand. It's challenging, sure. Like this past week, I rode down to Richmond Hill on Monday, drove down, and my dear pastor friend, Brother Burl Harkey, said to me when I got down there, he said, Pastor Randy, I've got a room over here at Holiday Inn. He said, man, it sure would help with some expense if you'd just like, just, you're welcome to stay in this room. I said, praise the Lord. How many know that sounds like a good idea? Amen. Instead of getting a whole other motel room, by the way, anyway. And so I drove down there about 4 hours and got there, and we stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday night after the service. Can you imagine? Our alarm rung at 6 o'clock in the morning. We got about 2 hours of sleep. I'm feeling a little weary at that moment. We got to be at the church here in just about an hour or so. And you know what? The Lord said, son, you got to spend time with me today. And so I found a secret place. Spend time with the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, it might be easy for you. And I remember, listen, I'm not bragging about it. I need your prayers. This is the most important time in your life and in your day. Whether you know it or not, I'm telling you, okay? If you want to have security, you've got to spend time with the Lord. When we were over in the rainforest of South America, we could access it only by boat. We're talking about in the jungles of South America. 12 men sleeping on cots in a room, no roof, but it had no walls in it. And first thing in the morning, we get up, 12 men. I'm in South America. Well, am I going to spend quiet time or not? It's a choice you got to make. The Lord reminded me I had to wake up early in the morning. And as the men were still, and some just sleeping, slip off into the woods, finding a secret place. I was looking for anacondas too, I'll be honest with you. I didn't go too far from the camp. But I found the place in the woods, made me a little pallet there where I could get with God. Every morning I said, "Dear Lord, I need you today like never before. And God, I just need to bless you and praise you today and ask you to go with me and enable me, empower me. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The most important part of my day and your day today is spending time with God. Not just talking about church, just outside of church, okay? When we went to Israel, we went from one motel to another, 10 different motels, Israel, Turkey, Rome, and Jordan. A busy time. We'd get in late at night. We were traveling. We were touring. Late at night, go to a motel, grab your bags, go to a room. First thing in the morning, be at the bus at 7 o'clock. Are you going to spend time? What are you going to do? When you're in a motel, man, I want to tell you, you got to find a place. I remember in Israel at the Sea of Galilee, I went down to the bottom of the floor, and there was an old kitchen down there. Nobody was down in the kitchen. It was the best time I had. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you, some of us today need to start doing that, don't we? You say, "But I don't have a lot of time." Whatever time you've got, do it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We've got to, number one, if we're going to have security in this insecure world, we got to, first of all, turn to the right what? The right what? Look at your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, you got it made in the shade?" So the message is, made in the shade. Have you got it made in the shade? If you're going to have it made in the shade, number one, you got to turn to the right place. Number two, look at verse 2. Then you've got to turn to the right person. Here it is. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shade of the Almighty. I could shout for joy right there because my God's real. Is your God real? I'll tell you, I don't know how you feel. I don't know what kind of burdens you're bearing today. I don't know what kind of stresses you're under. I don't know what issues you've got in your family. I don't know about your health issues, but I know this. I know that my God lives. And I know this, when we go to our Father, we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shade of the Almighty. But not only do we need to turn to the right place, secondly, we need to turn and talk to the right person. What do I mean? Notice, you got to turn and talk to the right person. I want you to see, you probably didn't see it reading this. I didn't see it clearly. Are you ready to learn something today? How many ready to learn something today? There's four names for God in verse 1 and verse 2. You probably didn't notice that, did you? Four names for God. Look at it. Verse 1 and 2. See if you can pick them out. Look at verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the... What's the next word? That's one word for God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the... That's the second word for God. Number 3, look at verse number 2. I will say of the, that's the third word for God. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my, what's the next word? Do you know these are all four different names? You probably didn't know that, did you? These are four different Hebrew words used for God. Interesting. If we're going to be turning to the right place, we've got to talk to the right person. What four words are used? One, and I'll bring them up on the screen. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The word Most High is the word Elyon, E-L-Y-O-N. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, Elyon. What does Elyon mean? It means God owns it all. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I know you're tired. I know it's hard to stay with it when you're tired and your body's tired. And you. I understand. Hey, I've been where you're at. I understand. I just appreciate you being here today. Try to stay awake, okay? But he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what the word Almighty is? It's the word Shaddah. What's the word Shaddah mean? it means not only does God own it all, but God is the one who provides for his people. Look at the third word used. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Number three. Look at this. Verse number three. Verse two. I will say of the Lord. You know what that word Lord is? Underline it. You know what the word Lord is? It's the word Yahweh. Say that with me. Yahweh. Say it again. Yahweh. Or otherwise translated, Jehovah. Say that word with me. Jehovah. So, Most High is the word Elyon. Say that with me. Elyon. You learned a Hebrew word today. Almighty is the word Shaddah. Say that with me. Shaddah. Thirdly, the word Lord is the word Jehovah or Yahweh. Fourth is the fourth word used for, and it's God. You see it in verse number two? He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Guess what the word God is there? Anybody know? Anybody know? Elohim. Elohim. Say it with me. Elohim. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to do? Show off about all these words? No, I'm telling you, God's got different names, and God's got different positions, and God's got different attributes, and God's got different perfections, and we need to know the God we serve. The word Elohim means mighty, supreme God. Notice. He that dwells in the secret place of the first word is Most High. Elyon, he shall abide in the shadow of the Shaddah. I will say of the Yahweh, Jehovah. By the way, that word Jehovah means self-existing. He depends upon no one. He relies upon no one. He is God. We rely upon others, but not God. He's Jehovah, self-existing God. And by the way, the word in the Hebrew in the Old Testament means relationship with God. Elohim. Look at this word. My God, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He from the stars, the sun, the moon. Let there be light. There was light, the firmament in the atmosphere, the birds and the creeping, crawling animals, the fish in the sea, and created man in his own image. Elohim, God, mighty, supreme God. Yes, he that dwells in the secret place. Here's the words. Elyon, Most High, Almighty, Shaddah, or Shaddai. And then you've got the third word, Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, God, Elohim. You see what, beloved? It's hard to really worship a God that you don't know. If you know who God is, then you know how to worship him, and you know a little bit about him. Do you know him? Do you know about his attributes? Do you know about his perfection? Is God just some Santa Claus upstairs that he throws out Christmas gifts when we're in need? Is he some kind of vending machine that we go to God and just pull a machine when we're in trouble? Is he like a spare tire? We just use him when he's a spare tire. Or is he really God? Is he Elyon, the possessor of everything? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God, you are owner of everything. And not only that, but God, you are Shaddah. You provide for your people. Listen, beloved, look up here. That somebody ought to shout right there and say, hallelujah, my God is still supplying my needs. If you know who God is, you can't help but praise him. But if you don't know who he is, you're not going to praise him. Maybe that's why some of us don't praise the Lord, is we don't know who he is. We don't really know him. We don't really know him. We know about him, but we don't know him. And God wants us to know him. Do you really know him? Oh, when I'm in trouble, Pastor, I go to him, but as long as everything's going good, look, you got to turn to the right place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Got to turn to the right person. Today, you know what we want? We want advice from this person and that person. We turn on the television, try to get some kind of counsel from this crazy and mixed up world on television, and these counselors and judges on television, many of them are not even believers in God. No wonder we're mixed up. No wonder we're messed up. No wonder our marriage is in trouble. No wonder our children are just deceived and misled. No wonder the average church today is falling away because they don't want to hear the truth of God, because we're mixed up with the lies of the world. That's right. Who are you listening to? Who do you get advice from? Who do you go to when you want somebody to talk with? Well, how do you know he's listening to God? Yeah. You need to listen to God. It's all right to listen to somebody else, but we need to go to God. I pray for everybody and love everybody, but listen, don't depend on your pastor to do everything. You get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God. You become a full-grown Christian. Y'all listen to me now. Hey, don't just come to be spoon-fed, but pastor, oh, I enjoyed that. You get in the Word. You dig in the Word. You can do it too. God's called you to love Him, to serve Him, and to know Him. Anyway, so turn to the right place. Talk to the right person. About one lady went to the doctor, and a man went to the doctor, and the doctor said to the man, said, sir, you need complete rest. Complete rest. The doctor went and told the wife, said, your husband needs complete rest. She said, he won't listen to me. The doctor said, that's a start. You'll get it later on the way home. Tell somebody you'll get it later. Look at neighbor, say, neighbor, you'll get it later. Are you in the shade? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Got to turn to the right place, the right person. And then, got to trust in the right promise. Look at this. Trust in the right promise. Let me go back to that. Trust in the right promise. Look at this. We've got to trust in the right promise. Zero in on verse 4 of Psalm 91. You know what I'm doing today, beloved? I'm carrying you in the Scripture. I'm not just giving you little cotton candy ear fluff, tickle your ears. I want you to get in the Word. And I know many of you, I've lost you a long time ago. I know many of you are, you know, pastor, I want to be entertained today. I'm not going to entertain you, okay? I just want you to get in the Word. I want the Word of God to get in you. And I want it to change you. And if the Word of God doesn't change you, by me turning flips or bringing elephants or peanuts in here is not going to change you either. If you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, I can't fix that. Only the Holy Spirit can. But if you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, there's some real spiritual problems. Amen? So my goal is to get you in the Word of God and let the God of the Bible change your life. And once you see the God of the Bible, the best I can do, as feeble as it is, to show you the God of the Bible. If you can see Him, you'll never be the same. You will never, ever be the same. And so, listen. That's our goal. Go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. Look at this. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You got to turn to the right person. You got to talk to the right. I'm sorry, turn to the right place. You got to talk to the right person. Thirdly, you got to trust in the right promise. That's in verse 4. How many of y'all have been bombarded with telephone calls about voting next week? Let me see your hand. And if you hadn't, you will eventually. Question. Do you know who to believe? It's his fault. It's his fault. He's doing this. He's doing this. She's doing this. She's doing this. I mean, it's a finger-pointing situation. I'm not just talking about this time, by the way. I'm talking about just about all the time. When it comes to knowing who to vote for, oftentimes you and I don't know what to believe. I can't hear you. You don't know the truth. You don't. There's a lot of stuff you don't know. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. Well, what are we going to do? I heard about Ronald Reagan and Nancy walking by a graveside one time, and it said on the epitaph, here lies a politician and an honest man. Ronald said, look, Nancy, they got two men in the grave. Sorry, I'm just, hey, it doesn't matter. It could be preacher lying. I'm not just picking on politicians. It can be preachers lying or whoever else lying. But wait a minute. God doesn't lie. I said, God doesn't lie. I said, the Word of God doesn't lie. I said, you need to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I said, the truth has transforming power. I said, when you get in the Word gets in you. I said, the Word will change your thinking, and the Word will change your behavior, and the Word will change your emotions, and the Word will change your destiny, and the Word will change your heart, and the Word will change your family, and the Word will change your community, and the Word will change a country, and the Word will change a world, because God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Woo! Glory! Hey, I'm telling you, if you want to be secure in an insecure world, we've got to stand on the Word of God. By the way, I visited Thursday a man up in Conyers who's on hospice care. His name is Ray West. That's Bonnie's daddy. I leaned down. I said, Ray, he's on hospice. He's got bed sores. He's got dementia. He is lost from 150 pounds to, or 194 to about 150 or less. He's going down. It's going to be a matter of time. I hadn't seen Ray in probably 7-8 years. I leaned down and said, Ray, how you doing? He had a big smile on his face. I'm doing all right. He's curled up in the bed. He has bed sores. They're talking about amputating his leg. I said, Ray. After talking with him for a few moments, I said this, Ray, are you ready to meet God? He looked at me, smiled, he said, I'm as ready as I've ever been. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? Are you? Are you ready to meet God? Gotta be ready. Gotta be ready. How can we live secure in an insecure world? Got to turn to the right place. Talk to the right person. Trust. Trust in the right promise. How many know the promises of God? You know any of the promises of God? You can't trust them if you don't know them. You can't trust them if you don't know them. Do you know the promises of God? That'd be a good lesson for you to do. Go home and study the promises of God. You talk about a faith builder. Wow. But wait a minute. I got a little bit more room to go. And here it is. Hey, if we're going to made in the shade, look at this. Not only feel safe and secure in an insecure world, how can you have peace and comfort in a troubled world? Look at verse 5. Verse 5. We're going to have comfort and peace in a troubled world. We've got to, watch this, fight our fear and feed our faith. There it is right there. Fight your fear, feed your faith. Fight your fear, feed your faith. Look at verse 5 again. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor by the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor by the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at the right side, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shall they behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. Hey, look, if we're going to have peace and comfort in this troubled world, we got to fight our fear. We got to fight our fear. Can I ask you a question? How many of y'all been afraid? What if my faith, my health fails? What if my money runs out? What if I have some major catastrophe? What if a tornado hits here? What if, you know, my child has some incurable? What if? I was in Sunday school not long ago, it's been a few years ago, and a lady told me this. She said, Pastor, I can't go to sleep at night. I'll sit there and worry about everything that could happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been worrying too, hadn't you? You've been afraid too, hadn't you? What do you do? You know what I told her? I said, I want to prescribe to you a verse to read and believe. What? You ready to write this down? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Look at it. Here it is right here. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Hallelujah. You don't have to take mind-altering drugs to have peace. You can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a troubled world out there. They have no peace, and they're looking for peace, and they try to drown their problems with mind-altering drugs, only to wake up the next day with a hangover and have to face the same trouble, and it doesn't get rid of the trouble. It doesn't get rid of the worry and all of that. It's a temporary fulfillment, but thank God when you got Jesus, you can take it to the Lord in prayer, and He's the one that sustains us in our right mind. World's looking for peace. Some of you are looking for peace. The Prince of Peace. Quickly, my time's gone. How can you find peace and comfort in a troubled world? Fight your fear. Some of you need to get to God today. God, I've been in fear. I've been worried about this. Lord, I've been afraid about this. And God, I got to trust you on it. I talked with a man last night, just been diagnosed. You talk about somebody right now. You talk about a wake-up call. This man was just told he has a tumor on the size of a tennis ball on his kidney and his pancreas. They first said it was in his liver, too. He just found out this week. I saw him about 2 weeks ago. We're talking about bees, beehives, honey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He just found out this about a week ago. He just went for a biopsy on Thursday. I prayed with him last night. Floyd Tillman, Millette Tillman's daddy. Stuff will wake you up, hello. And God loves us, and God wants us to trust in Him. But if we don't come to the Lord with trust and love Him and serve Him, the Lord will allow storms to be blown in our life to get our attention. I'm not saying God inflicts us with, but God will use a dirty devil if He has to. If you don't believe that, you need to read the book of Job. Hello. It's in the Bible, right? Don't listen to these preachers that tell you God is this, this, that, and the other. You need to get in the Bible and find out who God is. There's a lot of false teaching going on today, a lot of heresy going on today, and people have this misinformation, erroneous concept about who God is. And then they say, well, my God will do this and that. And they don't even know the Bible. Get in the Bible. The God of the Bible is the God we need to know, right? That's what we need to know. Not what Pastor Randy says, not what some preacher on television says, but what the Word of God says. And that's why today, that's why we're in the Word. That's why I want you to get in the Word. That's why I want the Word of God to get in you. But wait a minute. Come on. Last but not least. If you're not shouting now, you will. My time's about gone. How can we not only feel safe and secure in an insecure world? Turn to the right place. Talking to the right person. Trusting in the right promises. But what about, how can we have peace and comfort in a troubled world? By fighting our fear and feeding our faith. But thirdly, how can we have meaning and purpose in our life? If you let this message just envelop you, if you let this message sink in you, I believe it'll absolutely challenge you in your own life because of where you're at. Finally, how can we find meaning and purpose? Here we go. Follow with me real quick. Angels are over us. Demons are under us. God is with us. Work is for us. I love that. Look at that. Look at verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Angels are over us. You want to know how you find meaning and purpose? Angels are over us. Evil angels, elect angels. Yes, seraphim, cherubim. Yes, throne room angels. God created them. God dispatches them at his pleasure. Angels are watching over us. Really? We don't worship angels. We worship God. But angels are over us. That's what he's saying. And then demons are under us. I derive that from a practical perspective, even though those are tread on the lion, the adder. Look at verse 13. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Demons are, I started to say around us, but I kept going under us. I wish I had time to elaborate, but I'm going to skip over it. God is with us. Look at verse 14 and 15. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. God is with us. And then verse 16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Work is before us. Have you got it made in the shade? Got it made in the shade? You ever heard of a man named David Brainerd? Anybody? He was a missionary in North America to the North American Indians. And one day David Brainerd was praying, and the Indians were hiding in the bushes. They were ready to kill this white man from America. As he was knelt down in the sand, David Brainerd was praying, a rattlesnake showed up, and it looked like it was right about to bite David Brainerd. He was unaware of the danger around him because he was kneeling down in prayer, and the Indians were watching. They were ready to kill David Brainerd, but they watched that rattlesnake, and for some strange reason, the rattlesnake lowered his head, slithered off into the bushes. The Indians said, he's got the great spirit with him. We're not about to touch him. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. Angels over us. Demons under us. God with us. Work for us. You can't beat that. Stand together. Have you got it made in the shade? How many today need to say, God, I need to develop a personal devotion life? How many, to be honest today, man, I tell you, this morning, Sunday mornings are busy for me. They're busy. I mean, trying to get ready and get the message ready and my. And I sometimes tell the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I don't have as much time today to spend with you. But I'm praying for your anointing, your power. Nonetheless, I still spend some time with the Lord, even on Sunday morning.